We're continuing our series we've called God Still With Us. We've been looking at the promise of Emmanuel, that God is with us, but to continue to remind ourselves that that's not just something that happened in history, that that's still a promise that we have today, that God is still with us. That's not just something that happened, it is something that is happening. And so last week we looked at how God is still with us in our fear. And I've had an opportunity to talk to a lot of you. That resonated with a lot of us because that's where a lot of us live our lives. Today, we're going to be talking about something that is just as universally experienced. We all deal with it. We all struggle with it. Regardless of what we believe in this room, we all have this in common. So we want to look at this, what this reality means for us. God's still with us in our brokenness. Somebody say, in our brokenness. Yeah, we don't walk around calling it that, but we deal with it. And sometimes we call it grief. Sometimes we call it shame. Sometimes we call it disappointment, resentment, bitterness. Sometimes it manifests itself in anger. Just unmet expectations. But regardless of how it is that we experience brokenness, it all has this underlying reality, and that is that something is not what it was meant to be. The divorce is looming. Our bodies aren't doing what they're supposed to do. Or we're struggling to make ends meet. We have this sense that this isn't the way it was meant to be, that we were made for something more. But that brokenness is not just something that we feel in us, it's something that we see all around us. We see it in our world. Just open the headlines this morning to see 11 shot on an Australian beach, a Jewish community shot down. The rising war and violence in our world. Rising anxiety and addiction. Loneliness is, it's really become the norm. ChatGPT released some data just recently on mental health, telling us that over 1 million people per week are talking to a chatbot about suicide. You do not need me to tell you that we live in a wounded world, a broken world. But what I'm so excited to talk to you about today is this Christmas story. It speaks directly to this brokenness, the brokenness that we feel inside ourselves and the brokenness that we see around us. The Christmas story speaks directly to it. Because Jesus came, everything is different. But for us to understand why the Christmas story is such good news, can we take just a moment to go back to the bad news, where it all began, the moment in human history, the first moment that in human history that humans experienced brokenness. For that, we have to go back to Genesis. Genesis chapter 2, Adam and Eve are walking in perfect union with God. They walk with him through the garden. They are unashamed. They are unbroken. They are whole. But then the serpent enters into the garden, and what does he do? He does what he still does today. He starts to tell these little half-truths, and he starts to weave his native tongue of lies, and he begins to question God's motives. Did he really say that? He starts to chip away at that. Can you really trust God? You know, maybe you could trust yourself a little bit more than you can trust him. And did he really say that you would die? And he starts to just undermine God. And Adam and Eve, in that moment, buy the lie, hook, line, and sinker. And in that moment, sin enters the human story. Sin enters the world, and ever since that moment, or in that moment, Adam and Eve felt something that no human had ever felt in all of human history. Genesis chapter 3, At that moment, their eyes were opened, and they suddenly felt what? Shame at their nakedness. Now, nakedness is symbolic of their innocence. So they sewed fig leaves together to cover themselves. And when the cool evening breezes were blowing, the man and his wife heard the Lord God walking about in the garden. So they what? So they hid from the Lord God among the trees. Then the Lord God called to the man, "Where are you?" And he replied, "I heard you walking in the garden, so I hid. I was afraid because I was naked." So for the first time in all of human history, there are these emotions. For the first time, a human feels shame. For the first time, a human feels fear. And for the first time, a human hides from God. And you and I have been living in this reality ever since. We were born into this broken reality, into this sinful reality that separates us from God. But what do we do with this? What do we do with this brokenness? Because we know we still feel it. We still feel shame. We still feel fear. And we still hide. We hide from God. We hide from others. We still cover ourselves. And I'm not just talking about physically. I'm talking about emotionally. We pretend. We protect. We preserve ourselves. We don't want anyone to see that brokenness in us. After all, what good is brokenness? Every year, somehow it falls to me, it's my job to light the Christmas tree. We do not have one of those fancy pre-lit Christmas trees like some of you. You just plug it in and walk away and go, "Isn't that beautiful?" No. In the Eads house, we're old school. We're bring the lights down, stretch them out, plug them in, and hope for a Christmas miracle. I say that because the last few years, I don't know what's going on. I have had to go back to the store and buy new lights every year because the ones that I bought the year before now somehow do not work. They worked. I put them away. I bring them back out. They don't work. Does anybody else have this issue? I just need to know that I'm not alone. You ever feel like this is really just a therapy session for me? Thank you. Thank you. I feel much better about myself. So here's what happened. I got the lights out and I stretched them out. I plugged the first one in and the first half of the strand was dark. Wouldn't light up. Second half of the strand, beautiful. First half, uh-uh. I don't know. So I plug in the second strand. Same thing. I am not even kidding. I plug in the third strand. I wish I was kidding. True story. Plug in the third strand. Same exact thing. I'm about to lose my mind because one strand is not working and the second half of the strand is working. So I'm thinking, there is no way I'm going back to the store this year and buying new lights. I'm not doing it. I've done it every year. This is not happening. I've told Alicia, it is time for us to get a pre-lit tree. We walk through the store, and I go, wouldn't that be? No, she loves the tree that we have. So this is my reality. This is what I have to deal with, y'all. So I devised a plan. I would take the lights that work, and I would put them on the front of the tree. And I would take the lights that don't work, and I would put them on the back of the tree. And problem solved until it came time to decorate the tree. And Alicia said, I'd forgotten that I even did this. Alicia goes, "Hey, why is there a big ball of Christmas lights stuffed in the back of our Christmas tree?" And without even thinking, I said, "Because they're the broken ones." And it was in that moment that I said, "I have a Christmas sermon illustration." Because I'm telling you, this is what I've done so many times in my own life. When I come to a problem, maybe it's something that I'm dealing with internally or something going on around me, there's so many times that I do the same thing. Present the shiny parts, right? Present the parts that are working, and then take the parts that you don't really want anyone to see, the shame, the regret, and just bundle it all up and just place it in the back where nobody's ever going to see it. And that's the way we deal with brokenness, because we think it's something to be hidden. I think we get that from Adam and Eve. And I think in some ways we're still living that reality. Here's what I hope you walk out with today. I hope you walk out with a renewed sense and a different view of brokenness. Because what I did is I said brokenness can't be used. It's useless. But can I tell you, the Christmas story tells a very, very different story. Here's the first thing that I want us to see about brokenness today. Brokenness is where Jesus meets you. Your enemy would love for you to think that brokenness is that thing that God wants to distance himself from, that repels him. But Scripture tells a different story. If there's anything that we have learned from the Garden of Eden, as God pursues Adam and Eve and says, "Where are you?" to sending his son to be born lying in a manger, if there's anything that we have learned, it's that God is not repelled by our brokenness. He's drawn to it. How do we know this? Well, the psalmist tells us this in Psalm 34. The Lord is what? Close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. Let's just hit pause for just a second. Take this in. Your God is not distant. He is not disillusioned. He is not distracted. He's not disappointed. He is close. He is close to the brokenhearted. And maybe you're here today, you're worshiping with us online, and you're wondering, is this Christmas story for someone like me? I want you to know the answer is yes. Here's what I want you to know. You are not disqualified by your brokenness. You are exactly who Jesus came for. Now, how do we know? Well, we know because Jesus told us so. In Luke chapter 4, Luke is recording this, and Jesus walks into a synagogue, as was his custom. This was something that he was regularly doing, going into the synagogue. He was teaching. And so what he would do is he would take the scrolls. So they have all these scrolls, and he would choose one, and he would open it up, and he would begin to read. And Luke chapter 4 records that he opens the scroll to the prophet Isaiah, specifically Isaiah 61, as Jesus begins to prophetically read and to tell us why he came. Here's what he says. The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has what? Say this with me. Anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. And he's not done yet. He continues. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners, recovery of sight for the blind, and to set the oppressed free. Maybe your version says to set the captives free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. The year of the Lord's favor. What is that? Sometimes it's referred to as the year of Jubilee. This is the year when they would cancel debts and when slaves would just be set free. This is why he came. He's telling us, I didn't come for the perfect. I didn't come for the polished. I came for the prisoner and I came for the poor. Another place in Scripture, Jesus says the same thing in a different way. He says, I didn't come for the healthy. I came for the sick. What he's saying is, I've come for the broken. So you and I do not have to fear our brokenness as if somehow that separates us from God. Sin has separated us from God. But the effects of that, he is drawn to the brokenhearted. Brokenness is where Jesus meets you. Praise God. But that's not all. Brokenness is where Jesus transforms you. Years ago, when I began to step into roles of leadership and take on more responsibility, I remember the immense pressure to not show any weakness. I mean, just don't let the cracks show, just don't show any weakness, just keep producing, keep performing. You do the thing, keep it all together, right? No use for brokenness. Well, a little time has gone by. And some of you know this because you're leaders as well. You're leading in your businesses. Some of you are leading someone to Christ. And you know that pressure. It's like, well, do I just let people see the best and hide the rest? Or what do I do here? This is what I've learned over time. I learned that I had a choice that I had to make. I could either seek to be impressive. Who doesn't want to be impressive? I could seek that, or I could seek to be impactful. And there were times in my life I could already begin to see there were times that I sought to be impressive and I missed the impact. Here's what I learned. We impress with our strengths, but we impact with our weakness. It's upside down from the way we typically think. Now, why is this true? Scripture tells us why this is true. Because it is in our weakness that His strength is made perfect. And it's in our weakness that we are made more like Christ. It's in our weakness that He meets us, but He transforms us. How is He transforming us? Into the likeness of His Son. Paul talks about this in Romans 8, one of the most popular verses in all of Scripture. In fact, if we're talking top 10, this is probably in your top 10. If you're familiar with the Bible, and even if you're not, maybe you've heard this one. Romans 8, he says, "And we know that in all things God works for the what? The good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose." But if you continue to read the lesser known verse that comes right after this, verse 29 tells us, what is that good? What is that good purpose? It's this, to conform them to the image of His Son. Will you just say this with me? To conform them to the image of His Son. It got me to thinking. Maybe this will be helpful to someone. But there are times in my life when I don't feel as connected to God as other times. And maybe that's where you are. Maybe you feel that distance. You've tried to close the gap, but for some reason that distance is still there. I think part of this is still living in that broken reality that happened in Genesis chapter 3 with Adam and Eve. When the serpent entered and he began to question God's motives and God's love and God's wisdom and His truth. And if we're being honest with ourselves, there are times where we feel a distance from God when we're buying the lie and we're doing the same thing. Listen, friend, we do not have the mind of God. We don't understand all of His ways. His ways are higher than our ways. We do not share His mind. But sometimes the reason we feel disconnected from God is because we don't even share His good purpose. There are things that we want, and they're not always the same as the things that He wants. Here's some of the things that we want. We want comfort. He wants Christ-likeness. We want relief. He wants transformation. We want the top, and He wants depth. We want control, and He wants surrender. Sometimes we don't even share His purpose. But here's what I want us to see. The more that we understand His purpose at transforming us, the more we understand that, then the less we have to fear our brokenness. Why? Because brokenness is where Jesus transforms you. That work that we sing about, that He's doing in us, transforming us, it happens in places of brokenness. And it causes me to look at it differently. Final thing that brokenness can do. Brokenness is where Jesus restores you. I have a brother-in-law who has a gift at rebuilding old cars, old trucks. And my nephew, about a year ago, is turning 16 years old. And he wanted a Chevy Silverado, an old Chevy Silverado. So my brother-in-law found one, a 1987 Chevy Silverado. This is one of my favorite trucks. He found it, and you might not be surprised, it didn't work so well. It hit me as I was doing the math. I was like, that is almost 40 years ago. Oh, man. Can you believe that? Well, it didn't run. Long story short, he gets into this project and finds out that the engine, not salvageable. Going to have to order a new engine. So he orders a new engine and brings that in. He's trying to patch up the exterior, and it is so rusted and decayed that he can't even patch it up. He has to buy the whole new thing. Long story short, he finishes the project. The only thing original to the truck was the frame. Everything else was ordered. It was brand new. He did not repair the truck. He restored it. This is what Jesus wants to do in your life. He is not interested in patching you up. He wants to make you new. He is not interested in saying, hey, let's go back to the past and let's see if we can run it back and get a different result or a better result or maybe a better version of you. He's not doing that. What he is doing in your life, it is a new thing because you are a new creation. What he is doing, no eye has seen, no ears heard, no mind has conceived what the Lord is going to do. You can't even begin. It's more than you would even ask or imagine what he wants to do in transforming you and restoring you. He's not interested in just patching some things up. You are a new creation. We can't even begin to imagine what our lives are like when Jesus is changing us from the inside out through the power of the Holy Spirit, day by day, moment by moment. He's saying to us, where shame made you hide, I will meet you. Where sin broke you, I will transform you. And where brokenness crushed you, I will restore you. Next week, we're going to see where all this is leading. Spoiler alert, Jesus is leading us back to the garden. But we're not home yet. We're not. This world is broken. We feel it. Feel it in our homes. We feel it in our marriages. So what do we do in the not yet? Here's what I want to encourage you in. This week, very practical, very simple, an easy prayer to pray. Less of me and more of you. When I am interacting with somebody this week, less of me, more of you. When I am making decisions about how to manage my finances, those resources that have always been God's and he's just placed them in my hand, I want to pray less of me and more of you. When I'm thinking about how to manage my time, well, should I do this or should I serve in this way? Less of me, more of you. Now, why do I want to pray that prayer? I want to pray that prayer, less of me and more of you, because it aligns my heart to God's will and to God's purposes, his good purpose to conform me to his son so that I will become more like Jesus. You may be wondering, is this Christmas story for me? Maybe you feel a little bit like those Christmas lights that got put bundled up in the back because they weren't working. They're forgotten, right? Listen, your God has not forgotten you. He left heaven's glory to come find you. Remember the question to Adam and Eve? You remember what it was? Where are you? Listen, friend, God did not ask that question to Adam and Eve because he lost them. He asked that question because they had lost themselves. And I believe that he is asking this question of somebody here today, somebody worshiping with us online. Where are you? Not because he's lost you, but because you know you've lost yourself, your true self. You see, something is not as it was meant to be. He wants to guide you gently to become everything that you were meant to be. Is that what he's asking of you? Jesus was born in a manger so that you could be born again. And if the Christmas story teaches us anything, it's that Jesus has already said yes to you. The only question today, the only question right now in this moment, because this moment's all we have, is have you said yes to him? I want to give you an opportunity to do that. You can leave here today with full assurance, knowing that you have said yes to him. What does that mean? It means you have trusted him with your life. You have surrendered your life to him. This is the starting place to receive his hope, his peace, and his joy, and his love. We're going to pray a prayer together. And if this is the first time, or maybe the first time in a long time that you've prayed this prayer, and again, there's no magic in these words. It's the power of a heart surrendered to him, confessing him before men so that one day he'll confess us before his Father. We're going to pray this prayer together, and if this is the first time or the first time in a long time, we're going to invite you to stand. We want to cheer you on. In fact, when we finish this prayer, God's already working and decisions are already being made. We're just going to start applauding. We're just going to see what God wants to do. He is always working. So let's pray this prayer together. Jesus, I am not perfect, for I have sinned, but I believe in you. Save me. Change me. Forgive me. I give you my life. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.